أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: السحر ومنه الصرف والعطف، فمن فعله أو رضي به كفر. ودليل ذلك قول الله سبحانه وتعالى: وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر. البقرة آية رقم 152. الشيخ محمد ابن عبد الوهاب، may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him and be pleased with him and shed light over him in his grave, he talked about the seventh nafat that would take a person outside of the realm of al-Islam if the conditions of takfir and kufr yantabiqu alayhi, or they are applicable to him, and that is that a person commits magic, which is from the major sins. As the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in the authentic hadith, when he narrated to us and he identified for us the seven major sins that will destroy you, when he said, اجتنبوا السبع موبقات الشرك بالله والسحر وقتل النفس التي حرمها الله. He says, stay away from the seven major things that will destroy you. You fall into these things, they will destroy you. Seven of them. He said to stay away from al-shirk. And then he said al-sihr, which goes to show that shirk and magic are two different things, even though they can be mixed into each other. He said stay away from al-shirk, polytheism, committing shirk with Allah. And the second thing is committing magic. And the third thing that he said was killing a soul unjustly. And he went on to mention some other things, even the mal of the yatim. He said al-riba wa akli mal al-yatim wa tawalli yawm al-zahf wa qaf al-muhtanat al-mu'minat. Those are the seven major sins that you should stay away from: shirk, and you should stay away from partaking in magic, and you should stay away from killing someone unjustly, and that you should stay away from devouring riba, and that you should stay away from devouring the monies of an orphan. You know somebody, they leave you in charge, you're responsible for an orphan, a Muslim or Kafir. And the orphan is the young person who lost his father. You are the Kafir in your team. You're responsible for an orphan. If you were to devour his money, it's a major crime. Number six, turning and running away from the Kufar on the day of the battle. Running from the battlefield is a major crime. The only way that we can retreat from the battlefield is in a strategy of war. This place that they have us right now is not a good place. And if we remain here, they're going to annihilate us. So we're going to retreat to go around to get us from another position. But to run away is haram. You got to dig in right now and deal with the situation. Okay? So it's not befitting for the Muslim to run away from the battle war. Here at Masjid al-Istiqama, we're in the battle, we're in the jihad. We are the people of Muslim action.
They're not a part of the battle. They just are something else altogether, like the bird or the you know, leaf of the tree, just flowing like that in oblivion. They're just doing their thing. He said, "Come on and get down with the dawah, and come on and get down with the battle." The next thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to accuse the believing women of committing zina. So in Islam, we never, ever, ever, ever use lightly these terms that these kuffar use, like mother effa, because it's accusing someone of having sex not only with another woman but his mother. We don't say that a woman is a, will start with a H-O-E or a W-H-O-R-E. We don't make those kind of claims. Those are the last things that we say to our wives when we get upset with them. It's similar to this word that they have in Arabic in the Egyptian dialect, and the Arabs have it in general, but specifically in Egypt, if the woman has a bad mouth, sometimes you know her as a lebwa. And a lebwa is an Arabic word. It's the same meaning as a Asak or a Lays or a Haytham or Abu Harith or Usama. What's the meaning of lebwa? It's a lion. It's a female lion. So in their dialect, the woman who has bad character, she has bad adab, she has bad akhlaq, she's an imra'a sayyi'ah, they call her a lebwa. The Muslim man never, ever, ever gets so upset with his wife that he says to her, "You are a lebwa," ever, because it implies that negative thing. So those are the seven major sins that the Prophet spoke about, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and there are more than those seven. Anyway, the Sheikh went on to say that the magic will take you out of Islam, and from the magic is al-sarf and al-aqf. So whoever partakes in the magic, or he is pleased with magic, then he is a disbeliever. Then he is a disbeliever. First of all, ikhwan, the dalil that the Shaykh used to prove the kufr is the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 152, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about what had happened during the time of Sulaiman with the angels Harut and Marut, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, in which he said, and Harut and Marut taught the people, but they did not teach anyone until they said to the people before teaching those Jews, "Verily, we are a fitna, so don't disbelieve. إِنَّمَا نَحْنِ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ." We are a fitna, meaning a trial. We are a trial for you. So don't disbelieve by learning this magic. So the statement of Harut and Marut, so don't disbelieve by learning the magic, is proof that to learn magic is kufr. To practice magic is kufr. To be pleased with magic is kufr. So the person who falls into this, he knows what he's doing it with knowledge, and the argument has been established upon him, kharaja min da'iratul Islam. He goes outside of the circle of the religion of Islam. As for these two words, as-sarf and al-aqf, as-sarf, ikhwan, what it is, it's that type of magic that you can work on someone that will make a man change. He has a lot of love for his wife. You work this type of magic on him, as-sarf, and suddenly his wife becomes hated by him and to him. A thing that normally he would love. He loves to go to this particular masjid. Someone puts magic in his heart, as-sarf, and this masjid becomes the worst masjid to him on the face of the earth. Something that he likes, food, a color, whatever. For no reason, between the night and the day, that thing becomes disliked to him. That's as-sarf. And as-sarf actually means to change. To change something. And al-atf is the opposite of that. A man who doesn't like something, but you work magic on him, and suddenly that thing that he didn't like, he starts to be inclined towards it. He starts to gravitate towards it. He used to not like that particular thing, that person. They work magic on him, suddenly he likes him. And we find people doing this, both of these practices, in the issue of marriage. A woman wants to marry a man, And that man is married to her adversary. So what she does is she works magic on the man, makes the man heart hate his existing wife, her adversary, and then causes his heart to be inclined to lean towards her. Wallahi, I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it with my own eyes. So that's the difference between a sarf and an atif, but they are both from the same type of magic, as we're going to explain, insha'Allah ta'ala. This issue, ikhwan, brings us to a few masail, a few issues that we want to discuss. The first one is the question, نتسائل فيما بين أنفسنا ونتباحث, is magic real or is it imaginary? Is magic a figment of your imagination? A person comes and he says he's going to work magic on you to cause you to start hating his wife and loving another woman. Is it like the placebo effect that's really taking place? If you open up the door for it and you begin to believe it, then in fact you're going to start hating her and loving the other woman, but it's really just a placebo effect. The majority of the people, if you were to give them some medicine and you were to tell them this medicine is going to make you feel rejuvenated, it's going to help you do this, so when you wake up in the morning you're going to be really ready, you just give them a sugar pill. If you do that with the people, the majority of them are going to sleep very well that night. During the night they probably can't even turn over. When you ask the people, how did you feel? How did you feel? Everyone say, oh, I slept so good yesterday. I haven't slept like that in years. What was the medication? It was a sugar pill. Why? Because they set the stage to be tricked. So is magic like that? Or is magic a sihr lahu haqiqa? There are some people, deviants, who feel that magic is not real and it's not true. It's just a part of the imagination of a person. Even if something takes place that appears to be magic, like taking your finger and you can pull your finger out, everybody think I'm going to do it, except for Allah. And you pull your finger out and it looks like you actually pulled it apart. You just imagined it. It really didn't happen. People stand to the side and they pick one foot up and they start going up on the toe of the other foot. You think that they're elevating. It's a part of your imagination. That kafir, that shaitan, the tawhid, the kahin, the sahir, David Copperfield, is the world's best man magician, caused the Statue of Liberty to disappear. Wallahi, he's a liar. Wa Rabbil Kaaba. But it made it appear to the people. They say all of that is the magic. And the people who take that position are the Mu'tazila and Mun'azila and Kitabillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa sunnatul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now they don't say that magic is just from your imagination, just from their head. They have a delil. The proof that they use is the statement of Allah ta'ala in Surah Taha. Taha. The letter Taha. In which it tells about the da'wah of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam wa bani Israel radiyallahu an al-mu'minina minhum, may Allah be pleased with the believers from amongst them, talks about that incident when the magicians who were with Fir'aun, when they threw out their rope, they asked Musa, should you throw or should we throw? Musa said, go, Arqu. No, it said you people throw first. So when they threw out their rope in this ayat number 66, Allah Ta'ala said, يُخَيُّرُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. It was made to appear to Musa that the ropes were moving. And the word that Allah used was, يُخَيُّرُ إِلَيْهِ, from التخيل. It's a تخيل يا أخي. Imagine, it was appear to him, he imagined that it was moving. So they say, look, Allah uses the word at-takhyil, yukhayyilu ilayhi, it was made to appear. So they say that the magic has no haqiqa whatsoever. I want to read to you, ikhwan, a statement to Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala concerning this issue, and we want to make two points. The first point that we want to prove is the refutation against that. And the second point that we want to prove and talk about is what we mentioned earlier today. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahu ta'ala wrote in his book Bida'i al-Fawa'id which is a tremendously important book, about the statement of the Mu'tazila and Mun'azila and Kitab Allahi wa Sunnati Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wrote about that opinion. What was the opinion of the Mu'tazila? Enter, Sa'id.
That it was imaginary.
Now, that magic doesn't have any truth to it. The position of the Mu'tazila is magic doesn't have any truth to it. Ibn Qayyim said, وَهَذَا يعني رَأْيُهُمْ وَهَذَا خِلَافُ مَا تَوَاتَرَتْ بِهِ الْآثَارُ عَنِ الصَّحَابَةِ وَالسَّلَفِ وَاتَّفَقَ عَلَيْهِ الْفُقَهَاءُ وَأَهْلُ التَّفْسِيرِ وَالْحَدِيثِ وَأَرْبَابُ الْقُلُوبِ مِنْ أَهْلِ التَّصَوُّفِ. Listen to what Imam Ibn Qayyim said. He said, in their opinion is in contradiction, it is khilaf, it is opposite of what has been reported by the Sahaba and the Salaf in their Athar Mutawatir. See many proofs and examples from the Athar of the Sahaba and the Salaf, and that is in opposition to what the Fuqaha agree to, and the people of Tafsir agree to, and the people of Hadith. وَأَرْبَابُ الْقُلُوبِ مِنْ أَهْلَ التَّصَوَّفِ. And it's in contradiction to what? The people of the heart, from the people of the Sufis believe. He called them أَرْبَابُ الْقُلُوبِ. أَرْبَاب, the Rabb, the laws of the heart. You know, the Sufi sheikhs call themselves أَرْبَابُ الْقُلُوبِ. Those people who can take your heart and they'll start mentioning things about what's in paradise to make you cry and make you feel. They read certain things and give you treasures to make people say, ah, subhanAllah. And that's part of Islam, and that's good. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do that with his companions. But the Sufis take it as a takhassuf. This is a specialization for them. Now the point that I want to make is here. Ibn Qayyim is speaking favorably about the Sufis here. He said that the statement of the Mu'tazila is in contradiction to what? The Fuqaha have agreed upon, and the ulama of the tafsir and the ulama of al-hadith, al-hadith, and he put with them arbab al-qulub. How you gonna put the Sufis with all of those al-hadith? How? So those who show the statement that I made earlier today, and that is the people of the sunnah always have to be careful of saying things and making statements and taking positions that will give people who are against the sunnah and are something else, it'll give them ammunition and the ability to say, hey, look what Ibn Qayyim said. And I want you to know right here now, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, he came in the middle of the time that the Prophet came sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until now. He's in the middle of, from the time that the Prophet came sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until right now, he's in the middle of that long time period. Wallahi, he by himself, he has a madrasa. I can't tell you enough about what he did with establishing Islam, real Islam, and being an ignited fire against the inhirafat of the different groups. And he is haqqan Shaykh al-Islam. And at the same time, Ibn al-Qayyim is known as Shaykh al-Islam al-Thani. He's his main student. Out of all of the other students, Ibn al-Qayyim was the main student. More than Ibn Kathir, more than Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, more than al-Mizzi, more than al-Imam al-Zahabi, more than all of them. Ibn al-Qayyim was the second Shaykh al-Islam. But Ibn al-Qayyim, ikhwani, has some shafahat al-Sufiyah. He has some Sufi tendencies in his writing. He has the ability to write according to the sunnah and give you all of those treasures that will control your heart, but he does have some statements in there that are from the opinions and the ways of the Sufi. He wasn't a Sufi, but he was a man who was pious like that, and he has some shafahat al-Sufiya, some of the Sufi tendencies. But in general, he's an imam from the imams of the sunnah. We say, ikhwan, that the people, the Mu'tazila and Mun'azila and Kitab Allah Ta'ala wa Sunnat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no hujjah, there is no proof and no argument in that ayat that they used, that it was made to appear to Musa that the ropes were moving. There's no delirium from many, many points of view. One of the clear points of view is that we don't disagree that part of magic is imagination. There are different types of magic. Self, art, imagination, different types of magic. Sleight of hand is a type of magic. We don't negate that. That imagination is a part of magic. But, or there is some magic that's just imagination. But we can't reject the clear proofs that establish magic. The first proof that magic is real and it is a reality is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, يُعَلِّمَنِ النَّاسُ السِّحْرَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلْ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. And they taught the people magic. And what was revealed on the two angels at Babylon, Harut and Marut. Allah Ta'ala in the ayah said, يُعَلِّمَنِ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. They taught the people magic. He didn't say they taught the people imagination. Allah Ta'ala in this ayah, أَثْبَتَ وَجُودَ السِّحْرَ. He establishes that there's some magic. How are you going to teach somebody imagination? It doesn't even make sense to the point that the brother starts smiling. How am I going to teach someone about something that's not even there? I'm teaching them imagination. Something that's not tangible. You can't feel it. You can't see it. That's one of the clear proofs in Surah Al-Baqarah. Also, Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-A'raf, ayat 116, وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. And this is the story of Fir'aun again. That his magicians did what? They came with a tremendous magic. They didn't come with some guy-tie magic. They brought some serious stuff. And that's why when Fir'aun was dealing with Musa, he was like, I'm going to pull out my ace, my trump card. He did what? He said, call a magician. Call him. So they had to go get him. They're not like on the scene. They're doing their thing living large because they're from his cabinet, his court. They come. Look at the statement of the magician. What you going to do for us if we defeat them? Do you think that they had a small position to talk to Fir'aun like that? It's like extortion. If we hook you up, what you going to do for us? A man who said to Bani Israel, to Musa, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. I'm your Lord the Most High. That's how those fa'arina were. If the prophet, like Ibrahim, said, Inna Allaha yuhyi wa yumeet. Allah gives life and death. The Fir'aun said, Ana uhyi wa umeet. I give life and death. They had a man brought out, killed him. Had the other man said, go, you free, go on the earth, go where you are. That's how those people were. Ultimate dictatorship. And yet the magician said, what you going to do for us if we win? Why? Because they had youth. They know that the people were afraid of their magic. So Allah Ta'ala established in Surah Al-A'raf, they brought a tremendous magic. Yeah, he didn't say that they brought some imagination. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Ali? They brought something real to fake the people out. Also, the clear proof, Ikhwan, is the hadith of our mother, Al-Humaira, Aisha, Ummu Abdullah, radiyallahu anha, that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suhira, that magic was performed on him to the point where he used to think that he had sexual relationships with his wife. He thought that. He would get up to make a ghusl and ask him, Ya Rasulullah, where you going? He said, I gotta make ghusl, I have a relationship. They said, you didn't touch any of us. That's the messenger of Allah. فَمَا بَالُكَ وَبَالِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping and he saw in his dream an angel at his head sitting and an angel at his feet sitting. He saw this while he was dreaming. One of the angels said to the other, مَا وَجْءُ رَجُلْ. مَا وَجْءُ رَجُلْ. What's wrong with him? What's hurting him? What's the matter with him? Then the other angel said, تُبَّ, which means what? He سُحِرَ. He has been
magic has been performed on him. And then the two surahs were revealed. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. They were revealed in this incident. And then the angels told him where he can find the comb with his hair on it that they were blowing the knots on. The one who performed the magic on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man by the name of Labid ibn. What's his name? It'll come to me, inshallah. I know Labid ibn Asim, I think something like that. Or Ahwaf, something. It'll come to me. So here, it has been clearly established that the reason why, and this is why Ibn al-Qayyim said, that the position of the Mu'tazila and Mun'azila min kitabillahi wa an kitabillah wa sunnati rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is in contradiction to what Ahlul Tafsir said. This is what the people of Tafsir and the people of Hadith and the Fuqaha of the Ummah, this is what they are upon, based upon the Dalil. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam became pure with the revelation and he knew what had happened and he retrieved the comb and everything, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَفَانِي. Verily Allah has healed me. Ya akhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was caused to be sick from imagination. Something real caused him to be sick, and that was the magic. So as I mentioned, ikhwan, there are nu'an of the sihr. There are two types of sihr or magic. The first type of magic is magic that is shirk. And that's the magic that is acquired through dealing with the shayateen directly. Like some of those groups, like Michael Jackson. Their careers are over, they're over the hill, they played out. They go to the magician, they go to the shayateen directly and allow them to come up with a new style, a new something, the people just get on the boat. They deal with the shayateen, soothsayers, kufr. There's that black world that people can delve into. It's that world that there's a door, there's a window, you can get there if you want to go. The Jews are experts at it, especially their Jesuit priests that sing about the exorcist. That stuff is real. That's their thing. The second type of magic, and that's kufr. The magic that shirk, and that's the one that deals with the shayateen. Allah Ta'ala said in the story of Harut and Marut, to prove this magic is kufr, he said, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانُ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. And they follow what the shayateen were to them during the time of Sulaiman. And Sulaiman didn't disbelieve, but the shayateen disbelieved. The shayateen disbelieved. They followed what the shayateen read during the time of Sulaiman. Ibn al-Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he brought some Israeliyat narrations in which he said, Sulaiman, you all know, he had a lot of power, he had a lot of ability. He used to have the jinn diving into the water, into the deep, deep water, bringing back corals and pearls. Sulaiman had the ability to ask them, who can bring me the throne of Bilqis? The throne, all of what she has. The ifrit of the jinn, I can do it. The one endowed with knowledge, who the scholars have ikhtilaf, most of them think it was an angel like Jibril, said, I can do it before you close your eyes. He had a lot of power. All of the animals, you know what they're saying? And this ain't no fairy tale, Akhi. This is the real deal. The real deal, that's Quran. He had subjugated the jinn, made them go and dive and work. And then when he died, as the Quran said, he was standing on his staff and they thought that he was over them. And then the ants kept gnawing at the staff, kept gnawing at the staff to get lower, and he fell over. They were working all that time, Sulaiman is dead. That's the Quran. That's the Quran. Ibn Kathir, concerning this thing with Harut and Marut, he had brought some Israeliyat narrations. He said that Sulaiman, during his time when he was with Bani Israel, Bani Israel used to say, Sulaiman is a magician.
all of this power that Sulaiman has, it's a result of his magic and his dealing with the jinn. So Allah Ta'ala said in this ayah, they follow what the shayateen read during the time of Sulaiman. وَمَا كَفَرَ Sulaiman. Sulaiman didn't disbelieve. He wasn't dealing in magic. Those people disbelieved. The ones who listened to the shayateen. You understand? And the shayateen was the real shayateen, and the shayateen from the disbelievers of the Jews. Now, the second type of magic is this magic here, as-sarf wa-aqf. And that's where you turn a person away from something and towards something else. And as I said, this is the way of the Yahudi. Allah Ta'ala talked about them in the Quran when he said, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالْتَاغُوتِ. That's Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 51. He described them. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالْتَاغُوتِ. The kuffar from the Quraysh and from Bani Israel, Allah said, they believe in a jibt and a taghut. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Sahih Bukhari, in a effort that is mu'allaq. How we have a problem with the effort of the hadith being mu'allaq in Sahih Bukhari? There are a lot of mu'allaqat in Bukhari and Muslim. In an effort that is mu'allaq inside Bukhari, he brought the statement of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he gives the tafsir of Egypt, and they believe in Egypt. He said that it means a sihr, magic. With taghut, he said that the taghut meant the shaytan. They believe in the shaytan. So here we have another meaning of a taghut. I told you before that the taghut, according to many of the ulama, meant what? Someone give me one of the meanings of a taghut. Anything that's worshipped other than Allah is a taghut. Ijtanibu al-taghut, as the Quran said. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ What's the ayah? وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةً رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوت. And we have sent to every ummah a messenger, telling them, every prophet, every messenger came to his people saying, worship Allah and stay away from the taghut. The taghut is any or everything worship other than Allah. Whether they like it, whether they're calling to it or not. We explained that. So another meaning of the taghut is what? As shaytan, as Umar said, رضي الله تعالى عنه. And what kind of ikhtilaf is that? We told you there were three types of ikhtilaf. Ikhtilaf al-tanawwa, ikhtilaf al-tadab, and ikhtilaf al-mafaheem. Which ikhtilaf is this? When someone says at-taghut means anything that's worshipped other than Allah. At-taghut is al-shaytan. At-taghut is al-hawa. At-taghut is the ruler who judges by other than what Allah revealed. What kind of ikhtilaf is that? La, it's ikhtilaf al-tanawwa. We told you that there were different types of ikhtilaf. Now is not the time and the place to deal with it, but ikhwan, all of the lessons are mutarabita. They are connected with each other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us different things to say when we stand up for salah. Right? He taught us different dua. If one man says one dua, the hadith of Umar, Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, Tabaraka smuka wa ta'ala jadaka, wa la ilaha ghayruka. He says that. This man says, وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والارض حنيفا ما انا من المشركين من صلاتي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له. He says that. This other brother says, اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. Can we say, no, that's wrong? And he said, no, that's wrong. No, because the ikhtilaf here is ikhtilaf that has come as a result of authentic text. Similar here, at-taghut has been defined by Amir al-Mu'mineen Al-Faruq as being al-Shaytan, and al-Ikhtir and al-Taghut has been defined in other places. You can understand it to mean anything that has been worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is an effort that is mu'allaq in Sahih al-Bukhari. Now the next issue that we want to deal with is the issue of the ruling concerning what should be done with the magician. There's a lot of ikhtilaf between the ulama as to, in al-Islam, the ruling of a person who commits fornication and he's married is what, akhi? adultery, what's the rule and what should be done to that person in Islamic society? He should be whipped and he should be stoned to death. He should be stoned to death. A person who kills another person unjustly, what should be done with him? He should be killed. If the family of the deceased, of the murderer, wants his life, he take his life. The issue of what should be done with the magician, there's some ikhtilaf. One opinion is he should be killed outright. The other opinion is, no, he shouldn't be killed. Death is not the hukum. The people who say that he should be killed, the magician should be killed, they have some strong proof from the people who took that position, Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Imam Malik. And the people who said that they shouldn't be killed, like Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahimahumullah ta'ala. As for those people who said he should be killed, they use the hadith of the companion whose name is Jundab radiyallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, haddu sahir darbuhu bis-sayf. The had, the punishment of the magician is he should be struck with the sayf, with the sword. This hadith is in At-Tirmidhi, but it is da'if. And we know we don't use weak hadith ever, but especially in the Aqeedah and in the Ahkam. And what is this? Is this in the Aqeedah or the Ahkam? Which one? It's in the Ahkam. How are you going to kill someone with a weak hadith? The reason why it's weak is, in this chain of narration is a man by the name of Ismail ibn Muslim al-Makki. Al-Imam Ahmed said about him, Munkar al-Hadith. His hadith is Munkar. What does that mean, Abdul Qareem? His hadith is Munkar. Naam, that his hadith, he's a weak person, and the hadith that he narrates, it always goes in contradiction to people who are strong, or the thaqaf. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, اتفقوا على تضعيفه. Everybody is in agreement that this man is weak. Ismail ibn Muslim al-Makki. So this hadith that the people use to show he should be killed is not authentic. The other delay that they use, ikhwan, is the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu. When Umar was the Khalifa, he sent a letter, a series of letters to the Muslim Empire all over. Don't marry the Jews, don't marry the Christians, don't do this, take the jizya, don't let the Majus drink from the Zamzam water, don't let a free woman dress like this, don't let the Jews resemble a Muslim. He wrote these letters to all of his governors. Before he died, by 1 year, he wrote a letter. And he told the people in the letter, اقتلوا كل ساحر. Kill every single magician. You Muslims have power over them. We are the people in authority. Every single magician, kill them. That hadith has been collected by Al-Imam Ahmed. The companion said, after that order and that command of Umar came, as soon as we got it, we killed 3 magicians. Why? Because the Prophet ordered the companion, اقتدوا بالذيني من بعدي أبي بكر وعمر. He said, follow and obey the 2 people who come after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. So Umar has given his fatwa, follow him. SubhanAllah. وَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشُ مِنْكُمْ سَيَرَ اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي عَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِبِ. And whoever lives after me for a long time, you're going to see a lot of differences of opinion. So take my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa after me. Hold on to it with your mullahs. This is what Umar said. So that's one of the delils that they use. The Amir al-Mu'mineen said do this, and after that when the people got the letter, they killed 3 magicians right away. Another proof is the effort of Hafsa, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that has been collected by Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi, and it's authentic, that she was ordered to have one of her little slave girls killed because she was a practitioner of magic. And so it was done.
Okay? So we had the athar of Umar, the athar of Hafsa, and the first hadith that I mentioned to you brothers, the hadith of Jundub, that the Prophet said, Haddu Sahir, Darbuhu Bissayf, the punishment of the magician is to be hit with the sword. That's weak, marfu'an. That it is authentic, mawqufan. What does that mean? It is weak coming from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it is authentic. It's an authentic statement of Jundub. That was Jundub's position. So here we have Jundub, Umar, and Hafsa, all from the companions, establishing for us that the magician should be killed. And whenever we don't know that the Sahabas had other Sahabas going against them, the statement of the companions is a what? Is a proof. Is a hujjah. ما لا نعلم لهم مخالفة هذه حجة. Long as we don't know. If Umar was by himself and he didn't go against the Quran and the Sunnah, no other companion went against him, his position and his opinion is an argument. As for those people, Ikhwan, who say that they shouldn't be killed, they use as a proof the authentic hadith that's in Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can anyone think of a proof? Should I offer like $50? Go ahead, what's the proof? $50 a website. No, I know. Go ahead. Think of a proof. Yes, salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's good, Sa'id. As'adakallah. May Allah always make you Sa'id. لا يحل دمري المسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاث. It is not permissible for the blood of a Muslim to be spilt except in three instances. Except in three instances. He said what? As-sayyibu zani. The person who is married and he makes zina. وَالنَّفْسُ بِالنَّفْسُ. A person who kills someone unjustly, then they should be killed. وَالطَّارِقْ لِدِينِهِ الْمُفَارِقْ لَلْجَمَعِ. And the person who renegades and he leaves his plan and he leaves the jama'ah. So they are saying what? The magician, he doesn't fall in any of these orders. But we can refute that from different angles as well. Many, many angles. Those are not the only three people who can be killed in al-Islam. There are more people than that. Do you remember that hadith that we mentioned of Abu Huraira? Stay away from the seven major sins. And we mentioned shirk, magic, riba, eating the mouth of the yatim, turning away from the battlefield, accusing the girl. And what else did we mention? All of those are seven. Those are the only major sins? What about cursing Allah and His Messenger? That's not a major sin? So even though he only said seven, it's more than that. What about a man punching his mother in the face? On the day of Jummah, he gets off of the minbar and he goes to his father in the first floor and he picks him up and he starts choking his father in the people's face. What, that's a minor sin? So because he said seven, that doesn't mean they're only seven. Similarly, Ikhwan, because he said three, it doesn't only mean that it's three. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayat number 33, إِنَّمَا جَزَاءُ الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَسْعَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا أَنْ يُقَتَّلُوا أَوْ يُصَلَّبُوا أَوْ تُقَتَّعَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ أَوْ يَنْفَوْا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ ذَلِكَ لَهُمْ خِزْيٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Verily the reward of those people who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and they seek to make mischief in the earth, their reward is that they should be annihilated, murdered. Not just yuqtaloon, la, yuqtalu, taqtilan, and the wazn fa'ala. Now, they should be killed, or they should be crucified, or their hands should be cut off on one side and their foot cut off from the other side, or they should be exiled in the earth. That is their khizyun in the dunya. Khizyun is like to be made lowly. That's their curse, like that's their terrible recompense and their reward in the dunya. And yawm al-qiyamah, they'll have a more severe punishment. So now, Ikhwan, this clearly establishes what? That you can kill a person who makes mischief in the earth. Like what? Like a magician. He's changing a man's heart from loving his wife to loving another lady, Miss Adina. Breaking up people's families. That's mischief in the earth. Can you imagine if there was a magician running loose in our community,
Anybody who came to you, put a spell on you, you go home hating your wife. You go home hating your wife. We all go home hating our wives. And then he caused us to start loving kuffar. Wallahi, that's...
If it was haram, barakallahu fikum. Or if the hukum was that the magician should be killed, why wouldn't the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam order the execution of the man? And the fact that he didn't order the execution is a clear proof that's not the ruling. And I don't care what Umar say, or Hafsa, or Jundab, radiallahu anhu, that's their position. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, radiallahu anhu. But we say that that position is marjuh, insha'Allah ta'ala, even though we understand it. It's a strong position. You can't deny that. But do you think that a thing like magic being worked on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was something that all the companions didn't know about? Especially people like Hafsa, his own wife, and Umar. Of course they're going to know about the incident, right? So more than likely they're going to know also about the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't order for the murder of that man or the execution. You understand the point? The line of thinking, you understand it? They all knew that. But in spite of that, Jundub said, Had of the Sahir, Darbu the Safe. In spite of that, Hafsa said, she was ordered to do what? Barakallahu fiqh. She was ordered to do what? Have the Jariya killed, who partook in sihr. Umar radiallahu anhu wrote a letter to the people. And Umar was from the ulama of al-Islam. And the ulama of al-Islam, or the fuqaha, or the people who are very careful of spilling the blood of the Muslims, passing fatwas where the blood is going to be spilled of one person. And to the point where we have qawaid, principles, being given just to safeguard the blood of one person. Like, if there's some doubt, some shubahat in the issue, you can't kill him. It seems like he did it, but maybe he did it. For the most part, he probably did it. But there's some doubt, a little doubt, you can't kill him. Why? Because the blood is saved when there's not clarity in the issue. And yet Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote to the whole Muslim world, kill the magician. And upon hearing that, the people executed three of them right away. Come on, what you saying? So the way that we answer his not killing Labid ibn al-Asam is the same way that we answer why he didn't kill the man who was the father of the Khawarij, who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and grabbed him by his neck and said, Ya Muhammad, اعدل فإنك لم تعدل. Be just, you haven't been just. And he grabbed the Prophet in his collar by his neck and he shook him and said, give us the more money. Kufr, disbelief. And he deserved to be killed. That man deserved to have his neck chopped off. But he didn't. Why? Because of the fitna that will come. He started to fitna. Look at the fiqh of the Messenger of Allah, Ikhwan. A man wants to do something and he knows that it's right. But if it's going to bring about a bigger fitna, you can't do it. You shouldn't do it. The boss is talking to you disrespectfully. But the way you are right now is not the time to quit this job. To go upside his head and to quit the job. Now is not the time. Take it easy. The less of the two evils is to eat humble pie and deal with it. This is the sunnah of Abu Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And we have too many examples of that. People who deserve to be killed on the spot. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't kill him. So this man, Labid ibn al-Asam, he committed a crime of disbelief. Here he is, putting magic on the final messenger of Allah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, يوم القيامة إن أشد الرجل عذابا يوم القيامة رجل قتل نبيا أو قتله نبيون. Early the man who will have the worst punishment يوم القيامة will be the man who killed a prophet or a prophet killed him. He stood up against Isa, he tried to kill Isa, or he killed Zachariah, or he killed Yahya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Or he fought against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He killed him, or he was killed by the Prophet. Because what you're doing is, you are standing against Allah's representative on the earth. And it's as if you're saying, Ya Allah, I'm going to deal with you. It's like the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj, the Gog and the Magog. They'll make their facade on the earth and their mischief. They're going to be doing, and they're going to kill all the people on the earth, with the exception of Isa ibn Maryam and the believers, who are going to go up in the mountain. They're going to make hijrah. Because the rest of the evil is to deal with them. You can't deal with them. Talking about Allah's with us, Allah. Yeah! You can't deal with them. So you go up on the mountain. Those people, after annihilating everybody on the earth, they're going to turn towards the sky and say, we killed everybody on the earth. Now let's turn our backs against the people in the sky. Against those who are in the sky. Meaning we're going to deal with Allah now. At that time, Allah just deal with them. Why? Because they transgressed the limit. So similarly, that man who is against the Prophet, he's against the representative of Allah Ta'ala. And the people who are against the true du'at and the ulama of Islam, this is why we tell those young whippersnappers, akhi, and those ignorant sufahad, juhal min al-nas, who hate the ulama, the scholars of Islam, the real scholars of Islam, when they speak bad about them, wallahi, you're speaking bad about the representatives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, as Allah Ta'ala's Prophet said in the authentic hadith, إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دَرْحًا وَإِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ. You see? إِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَرَّثَتُوا الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. The scholars are the inheritors of the Prophet. They inherit them. They are their representatives. So those people who are trying to give da'wah to the truth on whatever level you are upon, whether it's the level of the ulama or the students of the ulama, or you have your own ijtihad and your own effort with the rules and regulations that are mandatory to be present, don't worry about people who are against you, akhi, wallahi. Don't worry about what people say and what people do, because ultimately you have to really believe yaqeenan, with yaqeen, that if you're calling to the sabil of Allah Ta'ala, ultimately whether you finish and you end up from those people who realize their goals and objectives or not, Allah Ta'ala is going to bless you. And He's going to deal with those people who are against you if He chooses to. If He chooses to, He'll punish them. If He chooses to, He'll forgive them. So this is why we say that that position of Al-Imam Shafi, that they're not killed, is the weaker opinion. Of course, Al-Imam Shafi went on further to discuss his point. No doubt about it. Don't think he's just going to leave it like that. Abu Usama going to come and say, no, I'm going to rub on Al-Imam Shafi. Nah, Al-Imam Shafi, wallahi, come on, ya Sheikh. We can't even imagine Al-Imam Shafi. But at the same time, if Al-Imam Shafi was dealing with his thing, Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Imam Malik, they would also be able to deal with what Al-Imam Shafi was putting together. And we all say, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. The last thing we want to deal with, ikhwan, is what about the issue of getting the magic off of the person who has been mafhur? Magic has been performed on him. How do we do that? There are two ways to do this, ikhwan. One is halal and one is haram. The first way that's haram is to get the magic off by going to a magician. The magician himself, he knows how to get the magic off of. You know how to get the potion off, the spell off. And it's haram to go to that person. And that's why when they asked Al-Hasan, he said, لا يحل سحر إلا ساحر. No one can free up the magic except the magician. Now some of the ignorant people take this statement of Al-Imam Hasan radiallahu anhu, and they say this is a proof that you can go to the magician. Because linguistically you can understand him saying, لا يحل سحر إلا ساحر. No one can take off magic except a magician himself. No, he was talking about this is one of the haram ways of taking it off. Not that I allow you or I believe this is one of the ways you can do it. If magic has been worked on you, you go to the magician and say, take the magic off of me. So what the magician does is, he goes to his shayateen that he's dealing with, and he pleases him with some kufr and some shirk, and then the shaitan that he's dealing with in that world over there, he destroys the magic. The other way to take it off is, of course, through the ruqya. A ruqya is to read the Quran, for an example, over the sick person. Some different types of medicines that you can use. Real honey, not the honey in Albertson. Real honey, the real honey that comes from the Muslim world. Some of it you can find in Florida. When I first came here, I ate some nice honey, but it's not like the real honey. Real honey, like the honey of Medina, Afghanistan, Sudan, Egypt, Algeria. That's the real honey that the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever licks 3 licks in a day, he won't get sick. He takes medicine like black seed, habbat as-sawda, those types of medicine. Zamzam water, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, zamzamu lima shuriba lahu. Zamzam is whatever you drink it for. So you sick, you are mathur, drink the zamzam. Also, away from this nur is to make the dua that is mustahab, that is from al-Islam, to read the last 2 surahs of the Quran and other surahs of the Quran, because the Quran is a shifa for the amrad of the qulub and the amrad of the abdan. All of that is permissible, ikhwan, and it's from what the Prophet brought, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for what has been narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, ta'liqan, this is mu'allaq again. So again, it's not befitting for people to have problems with the fact that there are a hadith that are mu'allaqa in Sahih al-Bukhari. Some of them are authentic, some of them are not. But whenever he gives the narration, he can do it in 2 ways, with what is known as tamrid, tamarraba, or majzum. And that's just qila, ruwiya, like this. Anyway, Qatada radiallahu anhu was from the tabi'een. He said to al-musayyib, he asked him about the issue of a man who magic was performed on him to the point that the man leaves his wife. What kind of magic is that, where he leaves his wife? What kind of magic when he leaves his wife? A sarf. He leaves and goes away from his wife. And al-aqf is when he goes to something that he didn't like. Sarf, he leaves something that he likes to something else. And al-aqf, he leaves something and he goes to something that he didn't like. They ask him, what if this is done to a man and he leaves his wife and he's not acting the right way? What can be done? And this is in Sahih al-Bukhari. He had asked him, أَيُحِلُّ عَنْهُ أَوْ يُنْشَرُ, is it possible for a person to do magic to get it off, or to make the nashra? The nashra is a haram type of magic to free and ease the person's situation through magic. And Musayyib said, لَا بَأْسَ بِهِ, there's no problem with that. It's okay to use that type of magic, nashra. We have to tell you that nashra is of 2 types. There's the one type that's haram, where you use magic to do it, and then there's the nashra that consists of the ruqya. That's what the imam was talking about. Again, people shouldn't come and understand from this statement, just as they shouldn't understand from the other statement of al-Hasan, that you can use magic to free up the magician. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to free up the magic, he said an authentic hadith that's been collected by al-imam Ahmed, when he was asked about the nashra, he said, Hiya min amal al-shaytan, it's from the works of a shaytan. That's also in Abu Dawud. So we can't use their magic, we have to use the other one. And going to those magicians and those soothsayers is a major crime. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, من أتى الرافع فسألوا عن شيء لم تقبل صلاة له 40 ليلة. Whoever goes to Arraf, how would you translate Arraf? If whoever goes to a fortune teller and he asks him about something, to just ask him, his prayer won't be accepted for 40 days. We gave this in the khutbah about how you make your deeds null and void by going to a Arraf. You record your prayers not to be accepted for 40 days. calling up the people, the astrologers. I'm a Pisces, what's going to happen to me today? Those psychics, all of that. All of that. Psychics are terrible. Not to mention the brothers who call those sex lines from the telephone. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And the Prophet also says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من أتى عرافاً أو كاهنا فصدقه فيما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever goes to a fortune teller or a soothsayer and then he believes what he tells him, he has disbelieved in what has been revealed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran and the Sunnah and the Nur and the Hidayah and the Huda and the Furqan and the Burhan of Al-Islam, the beauty of our religion. We're going to be in this Sha'wada and this Khurafat and all this Inhirafat. Wallahi, Allah blessed us, taking us from that kufr. I used to go down south with my relatives, my grandmother, grandfather, and all of my aunts. When it used to rain real hard and the thunder used to go, they used to become afraid and sit up in the house and say, God is beating his wife up. And that's the thunder. And wallahi, I used to be scared of that, akhi. I used to be afraid of God is just upset, just doing work on us, knocking all over the place. Can you believe that, akhi? When in the religion of Al-Islam, we don't teach our kids this khurafat. We teach them about the quwwah of Allah, the ability of Allah. We teach them about what happened to the people in the past. If a black cat crossed in front of you, 7 years bad luck. Go the other way. You break a mirror, 7 years bad luck. Knock on wood. Hey, what knocking on wood got to do with anything? Preventing the qadr. Knock on wood. It's been decreed that this is going to happen to you. You knock on wood. Throw short salt over your shoulder. Black people say, you can't put a hat on your bed. I grew up all my life, my father slapping us around. Don't put the hat on the bed. I got to do with the cover. Putting your hat on the bed.
What happened?
Yo, you heard of that before, right?
No, I heard all.
Nobody heard of that before?
No, I
never heard of that. No, that's what we have up north, Aki. Put the hat on the bed. This is just, they sweep over your shoe. What did they do that for? Spit on his shoe. You won't go to jail.
Spit on the broom.
Yeah, and you won't go to jail.
I know it's raining in the sunshine and the devil beats you.
The rainbow is Allah's promise to mankind. He's not going to destroy them by a flood again. This is khurafat. So if you go to those soothsayers and those fortune tellers, you have disbelieved in what has been revealed to Muhammad. What was revealed to him? Nur, Hidayah, Al-Furqan, Al-Burhan, Al-Sakina, Rahmah, all of that stuff. Wallahi, all of that beautiful, that good stuff. I don't have to tie on my arm any tamima to protect me from any evil. I know what? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa lan yusibuna illa ma kataba Allahu lana. Nothing's gonna hit us except what Allah wrote for us. That's the statement of the believer. Hasbuna Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is enough for us and He's a good protector. We're not worrying about it. That's what we're going to hold on to. The ruqn al-shadeed, al-qawi al-mateen. You understand? So if you guys have any questions, inshallah, we'll answer the questions if you have any questions. Hurry up so we can pray. Gotta get out of here, inshallah. Now.
What about like praying these to the kids, like, you know, 15, put it behind your back and drop them, you know, praying these kind of things?
No, that's not magic. That's not magic. That's just, you know, fun. But I would advise from putting it behind your back and dropping it, and then you have it in both hands. I mean, you have, and they choose and you show them. Because that's deceit, right? Tadlis, which is the أخو كذب فرخص لنا في الثلاثة وهذا ليس منها. You understand? So we should stay away from that. Try our best, really, to teach our children الصدق. Wallahi, everybody that I know, they lie. Everybody I know. The police pull you over, he stop you right there in the street. You ran two lights. He saw you run two lights, Akhi. He stop you and he say, hey, you know what you did, right? Yeah, I know, but I have a sick daughter in the hospital. I have to hurry up and get there. And this,
All right, but don't run any more lights. He let you go. He just said, stuck for Allah. Because that's not from what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed. And we're not going to be like those brothers who say, no, we're in war. This is war with the kuffar. This is war. Harb. Al-harb khida'. Well, where the harb at? You paying dara'if, you paying taxes, you doing anything they say to do, where the war at? No war. So we should try our best to be honest and truthful with our baby. If someone calls and you don't want them to answer, you don't want to talk to the people, don't teach your children to say he's not here and you're there. You're teaching them kedem. It's better to teach your son that you are mine. Tell him I can't talk right now. Tell him to call back. Tell him whatever. And the tuqiyah is not permissible either. To say one thing and you mean another thing. Your wife pick up the phone and say, he's not here. Meaning what? He's back in the other room, but he's not right here with me right now. No, he's not here. That's tuqiyah. That's the way of the Shiite.
So the White House lies right
here. No, they different. Because different program. Just tell him I can't speak. Nah, Mahi.
So when we try to follow
Zamzam is the Zamzam, even though they stepped on it a few times and they still cutting it. It's still the Zamzam because that's the well. It's going to be there, alhamdulillah. And you can taste it. Wallahi akhi, Zamzam tastes like cold milk to me. And that was the ni'mah of living over there, going over there and bringing about gallons to your house. You didn't drink from the faucet. Brought gallons to your house and in the refrigerator, and you're just drinking Zamzam water. Your baby's growing up on Zamzam water. Can you imagine that? And now we're over here, and the worst water is Florida water. I think the only water worse than Florida water is like the water of those states where they have steel mills, like Pittsburgh, Virginia, places like that, because of the stuff that's sunk into the oil, into the soil. But here, this water, you can't even bathe in this water. And no one likes it except them people who grew up eating alligators. They grew up eating alligators, actually. Understand? Other than that, actually, what you gotta say? So, yeah, Abdul Kareem, the Zamzam, continue to drink it, Habbat al-Soda, and even the honey, inshallah, it's an extract, but most of it is just a lie. It's just sugar and water. It's really not honey. They have a test that you can do. When you go and you buy the honey over there, the man pulls out a chip. Just like you go in the cop, if you go in the cop, and you can pull out a kit to see what you're buying. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Over there, the man is going to buy honey, they have a level, and he pull out a kit. He knows if you can burn the honey in a spoon to see how it goes to determine how is it really honey, or how many times it's been stepped on, how pure it is. Really. But you have to have, it's an expert's job. And that's why they make so much money. Something like this over there will cost almost $100. Like this. $100 of honey, but you can taste it, Ahi, when you put it in the thing and you, the whole thing that they connect it until it finish sliding off of the very last drop, slide off of the spoon. It'll go in an even flow, connect it, until it finally the last drop slide off of the spoon. And it is nice. Well, I used to eat honey on the meat, honey in the rice, just honey on everything, but that's how good it tastes. And I think we should make an investment when you go over to Medina and to Mecca for Umrah and Hajj. One of the things you should do is make it your business to try to buy some good honey, some real honey, for your family to bring it back. Honey is a pure for the disease, nifaq, doubt, the diseases that we have. Hey, that's what my suggestion is, as opposed to buying old. Brothers are buying old. I like old, wallahi. But I buy some honey, inshallah, for my family before I buy the old. I buy the books and the honey. And then the other stuff, inshallah, is secondary. Jilbab, niqab, tiyab. This stuff is, thanawi, inshallah. Any more questions, ikhwan? هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك واشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك